I think the week it was canceled, it was number 7.
The stories you never knew, like Lonnie's secret and heated on-set love affair with her WKRP co-star.
He was fabulous. I mean, I don't think there's anything more to say.
I have never said anything about this. We have had a great time together.
The low temperature on the set that forced producers to tone down Lonnie's wardrobe for TV.
I remember one suggestion that came from on high was perhaps you should wear a padded bra.
And the behind-the-scenes battles between the cast and crew.
We'd go in, lock the door, and just scream it out.
What happened when Lonnie became a huge star and other cast members wanted more money?
I played the race card when it was time to play it.
Plus, Bert and Lonnie, the Hollywood marriage, the breakup, and Lonnie's story of what they're like today.
He was my friend first, and he is my friend again.
Jan Smithers talks about her ex-husband, James Brolin, and sets the record straight about whether he left her for Barbara Streisand.
Describe the relationship now between James, your ex, and Barbara, and yourself, and your daughter, Molly.
The lost outtakes that have never been seen on TV. The casting and one co-star's connection to President Clinton. It's E.T. and WKRP Secrets from the Studio.
We just hung in there, hoping that we would have a job on the next Monday.
This is Entertainment Tonight, the most watched entertainment news program in the world.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the weekend edition of Entertainment Tonight as we take you on a trip down the dial to WKRP in Cincinnati. I'm Julie Moran.
And I'm Mark Stonis. The year was 1978, and a TV writer had an idea. Take his friendship with people in the radio business, turn it into a sitcom. Well, what came next was a hit series that was met with much critical success, but a lot of static as well.
Baby, if you've ever wondered...
I remember that we all had a feeling that we were in something special.
This is one of those things that we all knew would be a once-in-a-lifetime situation.
You tell me a better job than that particular show.
It was like that 15 minutes. It's your 15 minutes, and man, we were basking in it.
Cincinnati WKRP.
Their popularity has endured for more than 20 years. But originally, CBS wasn't charmed by the sitcom's cast of offbeat characters. The network didn't decide to finance the pilot episode until the last minute, leaving series creator Hugh Wilson with only 3 weeks to find the perfect ensemble of unknown actors.
They did call me to come in, and I said, no, thank you.
Before she slid behind WKRP's reception desk as brainy bombshell Jennifer Marlowe, Lonnie Anderson was a beauty queen turned actress who didn't want the part because the first script portrayed Jennifer as a stereotypical ditzy blonde.
I said, oh, I'm not going to go in for something like that. It's just, you know, window dressing. I don't want to do something like that. I just recently have gone blonde, or I'm kind of in the process of going blonde, and I want people to take me seriously.
After 3 phone calls from Mary Tyler Moore's MTM Productions, the company behind the show, Lonnie finally agreed to an audition, but says she gave a horrible performance.
I left the building. I got into my car. I burst into tears. Driving home, sobbing, called my agent and said, I'll never work at MTM again. I was just terrible. And they had me read, and that was on Saturday. And on Monday morning, they offered me the part.
You got anything for me?
Only the mail, Herb. That's all I'll ever have for you.
Jennifer became the show's smartest character, but was still sexy enough to titillate ad man Herb Tarlick, a role originally intended for Howard Hessman, who chose to play DJ Dr. Johnny Fever instead. That decision left the door wide open for Frank Bonner to audition.
Herb was originally a good-looking lady killer kind of guy, chiseled features, you know, 6 feet and all that. So I walked in to this room filled with all these Marlboro-looking guys, and I thought, I'm in the wrong place, or I've got this job hands down because I look nothing like them.
Gary Sandy was handpicked by Mary Tyler Moore to play program director Andy Travis. And Jan Smithers was hired because she was as shy as her character, Bailey Quarters. But like Lonnie Anderson, Tim Reed told Hugh Wilson he did not want to play Venus Flytrap.
He said, why? I said, well, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know if I want to do this. The character's a little stereotyped. And he said, how? And then meanwhile, I looked at everybody else in the room and they were going, get him out, he's out.
Tim relented, and weeks later, he was backstage, holding hands with the rest of the cast, getting ready to shoot the pilot episode before a live audience.
Tim said, let's all remember how this feels, because there'll never be another first time.
That first episode was a little rough for Richard Sanders, who proved he could be as clumsy as his character, newsman Les Nessman, when he hit his head on a stage light.
I stood up and went on with... Right through my forehead, you know, it was a bleeding gash. So, what to do? We were supposed to tape, you know, start taping the pilot in about an hour.
I used to tell everybody this is a hit. And I didn't even know what that meant, you know. I didn't know what a rating was, to tell you the truth.
During the first season, the show struggled to find its audience. And the big guy, Gordon Jump, recalls that CBS wasn't much help.
It was a tough go. After five episodes, the network took it off.
When they finally returned to the air, the cast could celebrate consistent time slot victories and grew together as a creative family.
We couldn't stand being apart so much that a lot of the time it was affecting our family lives because we didn't want to go home at night.
We had a lot of parties in those 4 years. There was a lot of tequila parties, I think, at the Mexican restaurant down the street.
Everybody still hangs out at Christmas time. We all get together and have lunch. And we miss each other, you know, it was a family deal.
Nessman was the one cast member who didn't spend much time with his co-stars off the set. In 1981, he told E.T. that, like his character, he was a loner.
I think when you work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week with people for 7 months out of the year, at least for me, there's no great desire, no pressure to spend a lot of time with them away from the work situation.
Howard was always sort of an unknown quantity. We really didn't get to know Howard.
As WKRP hit its stride, the cast shot what remains their most famous episode.
Yeah. Turkey's Away. Everybody's favorite.
Based on the experiences of a real-life radio station manager, the episode followed Gordon Jump's plan to release turkeys out of a helicopter as a Thanksgiving Day publicity stunt.
The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement.
It was so hard to get through Gordon coming back into the room covered in feathers and having him be so sweet and sincere.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
In fact, it was Hugh Wilson's long desire to film this turkey tale that won Gordon his role.
Hugh started laughing about the time I walked through the door. And I read my lines, and Hugh continued to laugh, and I thought, gosh, I must be pretty good. And I found out later I looked like the guy that did the turkey drop.
Despite the series' continued popularity with fans, the cast felt that they were not popular with executives at CBS, who moved WKRP into 12 different time slots in only 4 years.
We held a record for a show being bounced around. They literally tried to lose the show. It was not a love show by some of the network executives.
Killed us. Absolutely killed us. I would run into fans and the people who really enjoyed the show, and they would go, okay, where are you this week, you know, and I don't know.
When they started moving us, we could never then count on rating. We just hung in there, hoping that we would have a job on the next Monday.
WKRP in Cincinnati.
And those hopes were dashed in 1982 when WKRP was canceled. In the years since, some of the stars from the show have disappeared from the public eye. Did their success on this hit sitcom hurt their careers?
Fame is a very fleeting thing.
Who was typecast? Who made millions? What happened to the men from the show and why they left Hollywood? The money battles behind the scenes.
You knew the pecking order. You know, Lonnie and Howard were the favorites.
Inside the contract disputes with the co-stars. The day Lonnie's skin-tight outfit was too sexy for TV.
It's freezing in here. I don't have any control over that.
Plus, Lonnie, Gary Sandy, and the love affair they kept secret from the press, but not their co-stars.
Our dressing rooms were next to each other, so yes, we all knew that they were having a relationship.
That's coming up. Welcome back to Entertainment Tonight's WKRP, Secrets from the Studio.
Herb Tarlick, Venus Flytrap, Les Nessman, and Dr. Johnny Fever. They were on the radio every week, but after WKRP's final broadcast, some of the real-life stars seemed to vanish from the air.
Fame is a very fleeting thing. It's here today, and it can very easily be gone tomorrow.
Do I hear dogs barking on that thing?
I do.
Gordon Jump may have never rediscovered the fame he enjoyed on WKRP, but he has never stopped working in nearly 40 years. And as Maytag's loneliest repairman for more than a decade, he's no longer just known as Mr. Carlson.
Now it's about 50-50. I love what you do for Maytag, but I still love WKRP.
Everything is running very smoothly. I think we're on the right track.
Before the WKRP set was even cold, Gary Sandy had returned to his first love, theater. A veteran of over 50 stage productions, E.T. caught up with Sandy in New York where he was working on Broadway. He also has a website under his own name.
If someone had said to me 20 years ago, in the next 20 years you will play all of these roles theatrically, I would have said that's impossible. And I would never take it back. I'm doing exactly what I want to do.
Tim Reed reteamed with Hugh Wilson in 2000 to produce a TV pilot set in the world of professional boxing. And while that project didn't sell, Tim's career has shown no signs of slowing down. He starred in Frank's Place, spent 5 seasons on Sister Sister, and now he has even built his own multi-million-dollar studio in Virginia called New Millennium Productions.
One day I'm going to be creating series at that studio at a price that would be competitive, if not a little under competitive, maybe competitive with Canada. And that's why we built the studio.
Frank Bonner also jumped behind the scenes as a director. The native of Little Rock, Arkansas, who boasts that he once had beers with President Clinton, recently finished 4 years directing the NBC Saturday morning series, City Guys.
A lot of the kids are young. Some are doing their first gig. Some aren't, and I really enjoy that part, the teaching aspect. That's what I like to do.
Not wanting to dwell on the past, Howard Hessman declined E.T.'s request for an interview. He's maintained a low profile of late, but in the 80s, he moved right to the head of the class for 4 seasons. Although in 1987, he told us he wasn't always a fan of working on a series.
Sometimes it's breezy, and sometimes it's about as much fun as having a nerve killed without benefit of anesthesia.
I work alone, Andy. Everybody knows that.
Richard Sanders found himself typecast after his comic turn as Les Nessman.
After KRP, then people think, you know, that's what you do. You're a comedian, which actually I'm just an actor.
Today, he lives in the Northwest with his wife, who worked as the script supervisor on the show, and their 2 daughters. And he's acting in independent films.
In L.A., I guess it's the, you know, they want to keep you in this niche, you know, and so I don't feel that here. I think this is where I'm supposed to be at this point.
Coming up on Entertainment Tonight's WKRP, Secrets from the Studio.
Jan Smithers comes out of seclusion to set the record straight about whether or not James Brolin left her for Barbra Streisand.
We mutually agreed to separate and consequently got divorced.
Lonnie Lunacy. Her explosion into stardom, and the toll the tabloids took on her life.
All of a sudden, there were hordes of paparazzi that jumped out of, like, the bushes.
Plus, her marriage and breakup with Bert. What their relationship is really like today. The never-before-seen on TV WKRP outtakes.
Oh, Frank, you're wonderful.
Thank you, Linda.
That's coming up.
I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Cincinnati WKRP.
Welcome back to Entertainment Tonight's WKRP Secrets from the Studio. As the radio personalities from the station became more and more popular in real life, a bona fide star began to emerge from this ensemble cast.
That's right, Julie. Lonnie Anderson was suddenly becoming the next Farrah Fawcett with a pin-up career and movie deals. Lonnie's success did not get a totally positive reception.
1 week, I have a daughter named Deidre. 1 week I was Dee Dee's mother, and the next week Deidre and I went shopping, and all of a sudden there were hordes of paparazzi that jumped out of, like, the bushes and stuff, and lots of commotion, and my daughter was, you know, she was in junior high school, and she was totally freaked out by the whole experience, and that our lives changed that fast.
Send a Frenchman over to my apartment tonight.
She started as an unknown, but by the second season of WKRP, Lonnie was suddenly a star.
Part of it is really exciting, you know, that everybody knows who you are and recognizes you, and the other part is terrifying.
So why don't you get coffee for all the guys here?
I don't get coffee, Mr. Carlson. We agree.
How did she get away with that?
Are you kidding?
Lonnie took the opportunity to ask for more money, which didn't sit well with some of her castmates, as Frank Bonner told us when we visited the set in 1981.
We have stars now on the show, certain stars. Obvious stars. And so out of that derives a caste system.
Frank didn't name names then, but he will now.
You knew the pecking order. You know, Lonnie and Howard were the favorites.
When we renegotiated, I never really knew what anybody else was making. It was just a renegotiation. And Howard and I decided that we would renegotiate as a team. So we basically, he took 1 year and I would take another year, and we'd go fight and say, well, whatever you get, you know, I'll take that too. So we had kind of a favored nations thing between the two of us.
When we saw Lonnie make her move, I mean, it was admired. I mean, she saw an opportunity and she took advantage of it. She wanted to be a household worker.
But Tim Reed had his own problems with pay.
The second season, it became a tier system. There was four and four. There was the top four and the bottom four. Of course, I was in the bottom four, and I was probably the least paid of the group the second season. I played the race card when it was time to play it. And indeed, it was time to play it because I was the least paid person.
The other sillier problem on the set with Lonnie involved the temperature and her anatomy.
I was the sweater girl, and then they would create all these jersey numbers for me to wear. And it was freezing.
And it caused a physical change in her body. And you could see this change through her blouse.
Memos would come flooding down about my no, Lonnie cannot have me, I'm sorry. And it was like, well, it's freezing in here. I don't have any control over that. I remember one suggestion that came from on high was perhaps you should wear a padded bra. Isn't it ridiculous enough? So I remember thinking, oh, you can have blood and guts on TV and people can be splattered all over the pavement, but heaven forbid we should have something as natural as but it was always an issue.
Lonnie worked it out with two costumers, and all I know is it was okay. And it's still a mystery to me to this day, and I don't think it's really my business.
Howard Hessman had a marijuana plant growing in his apartment, and somehow that completely got by standards and practices, but my did not.
When the show was canceled in 1982, Lonnie's career continued on its upswing, with many roles in movies for television and in feature films. But Lonnie told us in 1985 that her beloved father died before he could see her success in full bloom. But he left a letter for her to be delivered after he died.
It said, I want you to give this to my daughter after I'm gone and tell her so she knows that she's beautiful and talented, and I know she's going to be a big success and make the most of her life, and I'll be watching.
Lonnie says she looks back on her WKRP years with extreme fondness, and she always loves meeting fans of the show.
When I wrote my book and I went on my book tour, I met all the Lonnies and Jennifers that their mothers had gone into labor, so I'm watching WKRP or something like that. So I met all my namesakes. They came to like the book signings. It was really fun.
Next on Entertainment Tonight's WKRP, Secrets from the Studio.
Lonnie Anderson's steamy love affair with her co-star Gary Sandy.
He has something special, boy, and something magic. I wonder what it is.
Plus, the lost outtakes and bloopers from the show given to E.T. by Lonnie herself. The closed-door blowouts between the co-stars.
I mean, we got into some, you know, nose-to-nose confrontations.
Jan Smithers. Why she's been in seclusion, and what she says about her ex-husband, James Brolin, and his new wife, Barbara Streisand.
There's some things that you want to set straight.
Mm-hmm.
That's next.
I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Baby, if you've ever wondered...
This is Entertainment Tonight, and you're watching WKRP, Secrets from the Studio.
While Lonnie Anderson made headlines for her relationship with Burt Reynolds, her only female WKRP co-star Jan Smithers was in a high-profile marriage of her own. Jen and James Brolin were married in 1986, long before he would meet his current wife, Barbara Streisand.
The summer of 1987 was a blissful time in the lives of Jan Smithers and James Brolin.
We were in love.
Yeah, we're very much.
We're old souls. I think we met in another lifetime. It was very natural. It was easy for us.
Married less than a year, the couple were expecting their first child.
Actually, when I went through the morning sickness, he went through the morning sickness. And I've had this sacroiliac problem lately in the past couple of days, and he's had some kind of bone structure problem. Not getting any sleep. Yeah, he's going to be a great daddy.
E.T. had joined the couple on the set. James was on location shooting the TV movie Intimate Betrayal during a break from his series Hotel. But Jan had done little acting since the cancellation of WKRP.
Do you believe in a supreme being?
Wow. I think so.
The role of the painfully shy and slightly neurotic Bailey Quarters had thrust Jan into the national spotlight. Always a pretty grounded person, today Jan admits all the attention and admiration did go to her head for a time.
There was a certain point where I just thought I was a total jerk.
You, of all people.
Yeah. I have to go through it, I think. I just sort of, you know, sort of lost contact with myself for a moment, and when I realized, I went, geez, you better come down to earth.
Parts were few and far between after the series ended, but a guest shot on Hotel brought Jan and James together. He was in the midst of a divorce at the time and waited 6 months before asking her for a date. The couple tied the knot in 1986.
When we met, we sort of understood each other.
There was no frenzy. You know?
Yeah, we didn't make it happen. We just had a growing, loving relationship that was natural, and we didn't manipulate or force our relationship. And our love was there from the beginning, and it's always growing.
Their daughter, Molly, was born in November of 1987, and Jan quickly realized her priorities had changed.
I thought that when, when I was pregnant, that you just have the baby, and then when they're 6 months or 7 months, you go back to work. And when Molly was born and I looked into her eyes, she seemed to say, please raise me. I realized that I was going to stay home and raise her.
Was there a part of you that said, wow, I've got this career that needs to be nurtured too?
Yeah, I let it go.
Jan made a conscious decision to devote herself to her daughter, putting acting on the back burner and all but disappearing from the public eye. But over time, the chemistry she and James once shared diminished. The couple divorced after 9 years of marriage.
A lot of information is out there, and it's not true.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And there's some things that you want to set straight.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of that bother you the most that are out there that are false?
Well, the biggest thing that bothers me is about my marriage to Jim. It says on the internet that that Jim left me and for Barbara Streisand, and he didn't. We mutually agreed to separate and consequently got divorced 5 years before he ever met Barbara. 5 whole years. And getting divorced at first was uncomfortable for both of us, but we put Molly's best interest to heart, and we worked towards being friends, and we did. We became friends, and we accomplished that for her sake and for our sake, because why the enemies? What's the point?
The erroneous report was contained on a website produced by a devoted fan.
They don't know the truth, projecting that Jim is a cat and that I'm a victim, and Barbara's like, you know, way off the wall. But we aren't. None of us are.
Describe the relationship now between James, your ex, and Barbara, and yourself, and your daughter, Molly.
We have an extended family, a very good extended family, and our main purpose really is for Molly's good. She adores her daddy, and she really likes Barbara, and she has a very, very good time when she's there. And I feel completely comfortable with them when they're together. I am completely, you know, when you have, well, you don't know yet, but when you have a child, you wonder, are they okay at that person's house? And she's in the right hands when she's with her dad.
Jan told me that daughter Molly lives with her, but visits father James Brolin and Barbara Streisand every other weekend.
The jokes you saw on TV were only part of the fun for the cast of WKRP. What you didn't see was sometimes funnier. Now we have the exclusive outtakes given to us by Lonnie herself. and the candid moments left on the cutting room floor.
I'd look him right in the eyes and say, I can't remember what you said.
Okay, hold it, please.
This bloopers tape was put together for the WKRP cast and crew only. And with all the goofs, it's clear to see why they didn't want the footage to get out.
Travis can't fix this one up. I am f***ed. Not just here, but anywhere I go. F***ing A. Maybe it's Armed Forces Day.
Oh, no. Armed Forces Day has been changed to game of...
How about Armed Forces Day?
Armed Forces Day has been changed to gay indie... Jeez.
Possibly. I forgot the line.
Seems the fun atmosphere had the stars tuning out, and sometimes they couldn't even get the names right. Like in a love scene where Frank Bonner was supposed to be called his character, Herb.
Oh, Frank, you're wonderful.
Thank you, Linda.
Good morning, Herb.
Your speech, I don't know, it just made me want to go jump up, you know. Thank you, Frank. Oh, you're welcome.
Les, for instance, pledged $2 a mile.
What?
You did.
I see they're going to walk the
out.
I can probably guess that Travis will be right there beside me. Right, Gay? Gary?
And while these never made it on TV, it's easy to see that the stars of WKRP had a great time on the set.
How about it, Jennifer? You and me, here, now. What do you say?
What are we talking about?
I don't know, because I don't have my sunglasses and it's all wrong.
Cut.
Next, on Entertainment Tonight's WKRP, Secrets from the Studio.
It wasn't all fun for the sitcom co-stars.
Sometimes I feel this may indeed be our last year, if there is a God.
Why some of the cast was complaining. Lonnie Anderson and Burt Reynolds.
She's terrific, except when we leave here.
The early interviews, the truth behind their public breakup, and how they're doing today. Plus, before Burt, Lonnie's secret love affair with co-star Gary Sandy.
I have hung around with a lot of beautiful women, more so than I probably should have.
That's next.
I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Baby, if you've ever wondered.
This is Entertainment Tonight, and you're watching WKRP, Secrets from the Studio.
The stars of WKRP were heavily scrutinized by the press, especially Lonnie Anderson. But there was a romance on the set that the tabloids never knew about. Lonnie and Gary Sandy worked together almost every day. And now they tell us that's not all they did.
He had lots of girlfriends. Lots of girlfriends, and I used to think, God, he has something special, boy, and something magic. I wonder what it is.
Lonnie got her answer during season number 3. Her marriage had just ended, and the blonde beauty couldn't resist a relationship with the show's handsome leading man.
He was my friend, and he was family, and I saw him every day. And I guess it was a little curiosity, too, because all these women were just mad for him.
I have never said anything about this. I tend to think it's not the gentlemanly thing to talk about. I will say this, that in my lifetime, in my day and age, I have hung around with a lot of beautiful women, more so than I probably should have.
While Gary has never been one to kiss and tell, Lonnie went so far as to write about their love affair in her 95 autobiography. Lonnie goes into great detail, but suffice to say, she gives Gary high marks as a lover.
He was fabulous. Now, I don't think there's anything more to say.
She's obviously a beautiful woman, and the only macho thing I will say is we have had a great time together.
Just a few weeks ago, he was saying to me, how could you do that to me? Write about that? Because I said, well, I thought it would make you even more popular. Women would just be falling all over you. He said, it was embarrassing.
Well, hey, like I said, it's hard not to... I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Am I blushing?
No. Frankly?
I like women.
And they were both naked.
At the time, Lonnie and Gary tried in vain to keep their relationship quiet on the set.
Well, our dressing rooms were next to each other, Gary's and mine, so yes, we all knew that they were having a relationship.
Pa possibly there'd always been like a little flirtation, and because we had such a good relationship, I don't know that people weren't expecting it. I don't think we surprised anybody.
But they were highly successful in keeping it from the press, much to the dismay of creator Hugh Wilson.
I kept hoping the National Enquirer would find out about this affair so we could have some publicity. They were writing stuff about her being out on the town drinking. I think Lonnie's had like four drinks in her life. And they missed this affair that was going on.
Unfortunately, their affair ended even before the series did, and that made their working relationship tense.
I had started to date Bert, and that caused a little friction between us. You know, just that adjustment of having to work together and not being together anymore.
I think that she made the right choice, because I'm not oftentimes a settling down kind of guy.
While the former Flames made sure they never disrupted the set, the very rigors of making a sitcom were tough on the entire cast, especially Howard Hessman, as he told us in 1981.
It does get kind of tiring after a while, you know. Yeah, I wish the schedule would allow a month's break somewhere so you could go do another character with other people. Sometimes I feel this may indeed be our last year, if there is a God.
And occasionally the actors would have to let off a little steam.
When we'd have friction happening, which happens in all families, and we were a family, we would meet in Gordon's dressing room and hash it all out.
We'd go in, lock the door, and just scream it out. And, I mean, we got into some, you know, nose-to-nose confrontations, you know, no punches, nothing like that. Things were thrown.
Despite the fact that there may be a few moments of anger, maybe a moment or two of stark terror, we always came back together.
But in 1982, after just four seasons, the network abruptly broke up the gang by pulling the plug on WKRP.
I think everyone felt that we were pretty solid for a fifth season, and I think most of us were fairly shocked when we got that call saying we're history.
I thought, gee, this is just like losing your family in a freeway accident.
The week it was canceled, it was number 7. I doubt very seriously if they would cancel a show that was in the top 10 nowadays.
The show could have gone for, you know, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 more years. It could have been a 10-year show. So the place that we left was just beginning.
When Lonnie Anderson was younger, her mother saw an actor on TV and yelled for Lonnie to come see. He looks just like your dad, Lonnie's mom said. That actor's name? Burt Reynolds.
Next on Entertainment Tonight's WKRP, Secrets from the Studio.
Burt and Lonnie, from the first time they met to the phenomenon to the final days.
I do consider myself an abused wife.
Two huge stars, one headline-making marriage. What they said then, what she says now.
Bert had people calling me to say, will you go out with me?
And the real story behind their relationship today.
That's next.
Baby, if you've ever wondered.
He was the handsome leading man, she the blonde beauty from WKRP. Their marriage was played out under a microscope. Stories about their split were splashed all over the tabloids. Now we talk to Lonnie Anderson about what really happened during her relationship with Burt Reynolds and look back through those Hollywood headlines for the truth.
Lonnie Anderson and Burt Reynolds were one of Hollywood's A-list glamour couples. Theirs was a relationship that seemed to be made for the cameras. They even met on a TV set.
We had met on the Merv Griffin show in 1978, the first year of WKRP. I was married at the time to Ross, and Burt was with Sally Field at the time. And we just hit it off.
In 1981, during WKRP's third season, Lonnie and second husband Russ Bickle divorced. According to Lonnie, Burt wasted no time making his move.
The minute my husband and I split up, when I started dating Gary, Bert had people calling me to say, will you go out with me? And I resisted that for almost a year. He's my best friend, and I've never cared for anyone as much in my life.
After a 7-year courtship in which they appeared inseparable, they married. They adopted a son, Quentin, who they both proudly doted on. And in 1991, they even worked together when Lonnie guest starred and Bert directed the short-lived syndicated remake of the series, the new WKRP in Cincinnati.
everything seemed great.
Because I have such confidence in him, it makes my job easier. I feel totally relaxed and so secure because I know everything he says is going to be great.
Yeah, the nice catch works great there, sweetheart.
Okay.
And also, it's a wonderful entrance in it.
Four.
It keeps it more regal. I could just sit at home and eat, and, you know, pork up or something, but or go out and spend a lot of money. But it was good to be here. She's terrific, except when we leave here. Beginning direction when we leave here.
Just on the set?
Just on the set.
I can honestly say that the man that I knew, for me, doesn't exist anymore. So I don't know him.
In 1993, after 5 years of marriage, their Hollywood storybook life together went boom. Lonnie found out from a total stranger.
The doorbell rang, and it was a lawyer who said I was being served with divorce papers. Never discussed, never told anything. I thought I was going back for my second honeymoon, and a plane ticket back to Los Angeles. He filed immediately and alerted the news media. I just can't explain what a horrible... I felt like we were thrown to the wolves.
In her 1995 autobiography, My Life in High Heels, Lonnie described Bert as a man who was often out of control, hooked on prescription painkillers, and sometimes even abusive.
I do consider myself an abused wife. And I think there are certain levels of abuse. It happened for me very slowly. I blamed the drugs, that the abuse was only because of the drugs, and as soon as we got rid of that, there wouldn't be any more abuse.
Lonnie also later discovered something even more hurtful.
Bert had another woman for almost our entire marriage. If I had known anything about her, I would have been gone. And I would have bet you any amount of money that there was no other woman, so I didn't have a clue.
The other woman was a one-time cocktail waitress named Pam Seals, who Bert remains with to this day.
I tried to talk to him. He handed the phone to Pam, and I was so shocked. And I even tried having a relationship with her for Quentin's sake. And I tried for quite some time. And there were some abusive words that she said to me over the phone, and I stopped talking to her. And Bert doesn't speak to me, so now everything is carried on through lawyers, and I guess that's just the way it has to be.
In 1995, Bert finally broke his silence over his split with Lonnie to E.T.
Last 4 or 5 years have not been the most pleasant for me. And I've tried to take the high road and keep my mouth shut and not get caught up in it. But it's very difficult. The one that suffers the most is my son. And I miss him greatly. I wish her well. I hope she sells lots and lots of books, and I hope she has a great life.
But as time has passed, so too has some of the animosity that existed between the two. A few years ago, thanks to Quentin, they all got together.
When he finished school, he wanted to go to the set and be with his dad, and one day no drivers could pick him up, so I drove him to the set. And Bert asked me if I would stay and watch, and we had a lovely afternoon. When I think about that, the 12 years that I was with Bert, was taking two celebrities. Each celebrity is difficult enough to deal with all of that, kind of that hoopla that goes on around a celebrity. And then you put celebrities together in a couple, and it just seems to magnify tenfold.
Today, teenager Quentin is what's most important to both Lonnie and Bert. They've put their differences behind them with the good of their son in mind.
He was my friend first, and he is my friend again. And he's Quentin's dad, and we have a very nice relationship. It's very nice.
Today, Lonnie tells E.T. she is extremely happy with her live-in love, Jeff Brown. They met during her divorce from Bert. He worked for the law firm that represented Lonnie. And we'll be right back.
Cincinnati WKRP. Cincinnati WKRP.
The
John Wells wrote the music for the show, but he cannot take credit for the lyrics in the end theme. Now, while it may sound like the person singing is actually saying something, listen close, Julie. It's just all gibberish.
Oh, yeah? Interesting.
A little trivia for you.
Well, that's all of our WKRP secrets from the studio.
We leave you now with more memories from the stars. See you next time for another edition of E.T. on TV Land. Take care.
They had me read, and that was on Saturday. And on Monday morning, they offered me the part. I can't remember which.
So I walked in to this room filled with all these Marlboro-looking guys, and I thought, now I'm in the wrong place, or I've got this job hands down, because I look nothing like them.
I can probably guess that Travis will be right there beside me. Right, Gay? Gary?
I read my lines, but we continued to laugh, and I thought, gosh, I look pretty good. Yeah, I found out later I looked like the guy that did the turkey drop.
Your speech, I don't know, it just made me want to go jump up, you know. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you're welcome.
Part of it is really exciting, you know, that everybody knows who you are and recognizes you, and the other part is terrifying.
Maybe it's Armed Forces Day. Oh, no. Armed Forces Day has been changed to Gay MLK. Into the hell bed.
It became a tier system. It was four and four. It was the top four and the bottom four. Of course, I was in the bottom four, and I was probably the least paid of the group for the second season.
Possibly. I forgot.
Next on TV Land, it's I Dream of Jeannie. Conspiracy theorists have long suggested that I Dream of Jeannie was really an elaborate smokescreen set up to debunk rumors of NASA's actual top-secret Jeannie technology program. Of course, in reality, I Dream of Jeannie was just a TV show. Or was it?
Lonnie cannot have me. I'm sorry. And it was like, well, it's freezing in here. I don't have any control over that.
Okay, hold it, please.